Many big companies are looking to end or limit remote working opportunities. That's been a priority for the Trump administration as well.
As companies of all sizes call their employees back into the office, a farmer-owned cooperative in the Driftless region is taking a different approach to hybrid work and having positive results.
Organic Valley, headquartered in Lafarge, has nearly 1,000 employees. It's located in a village of about 700 residents that lies along the banks of the Kickapoo River.
Here to talk about remote work and the future of small dairy farms is Organic Valley CEO Jeff Frank. Jeff, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
As you look at the world of work, can you explain Organic Valley's approach here with the hybrid work model and what it's allowing employees to do?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. You know, it really began coming out of the pandemic with a recognition that things had really changed, and we were seeing other organizations around us, some with mandates to come back to work, some with mandates to come back for a few days a week, others sticking with flexibility. And we were kind of in an environment where each department within our organization had kind of evolved into doing their own thing. And there was a lot of inconsistency. And then, on top of the inconsistency, because of our rural location, we were also really thinking about how to attract and retain the best talent. And so we started thinking about how are we going to pioneer our own path here? How are we going to think differently about what works for us and not necessarily ignore what's going on in the world around us, but learn from it and take the pieces that we like, discard the pieces we don't like, and then carve our own path with the aspects that, you know, really are unique to us. And so ultimately, we put together a cross-functional team from all different parts of the organization. So we had all perspectives represented. They went out and did a whole lot of work and came back with what I think is a really unique and innovative approach in terms of how we're doing it.
Okay, so you started this hybrid work model around June time. What are you finding out so far?
Well, we're finding a lot of good things. First of all, it has greatly improved our ability to attract good talent. And so, you know, part of being in a rural location is we love to hire locally. We love to hire people that are around us. But there's also a recognition that there's just not a lot of population in our direct vicinity. And so as a result of that, by offering these low and high hybrid options that we've created, it's really cast a much larger net, and we're getting much more qualified people to apply for roles, and it's allowing us the choice to really choose the best talent for fit with our organization.
You're also doing this, though, at a time when we see companies like Amazon and AT&T, you know, bringing employees back to the office 5 days a week. Why is that happening?
You know, if I'm fully transparent with you, I had to sort of wrap my head around some of this initially as well. And where that's coming from is a place where I sort of grew up in a business world where we all sort of worked together. We could see each other working. So that gave us confidence that everyone was working. If we had questions, we could just turn around in our chair and ask someone. And I think what's going on now is just, it's a different kind of world with all the technology that we have. And so rather than turning around from my cubicle to ask someone a question, now I just send them an instant message. And that's how I get my question answered. And so what we really had to do here in order to remedy some of that was to really think through how we write work plans for staff members and be very clear about what their expectations are, what their deliverables are, what their deadlines are, and just get really deliberate about everyone understanding what was required of them. And then there's a great deal of trust that went into it after that. And it really comes down to, I trust your flexibility to manage your life, but yet at the same time, achieve these goals based on the time and, you know, place that it makes sense for you. And it's worked really well for us. Now, I'll say that, and also we value collaboration. We do value being together. Our culture is one that we really appreciate the togetherness time. And that's where this hybrid has really come into play, in that we have togetherness, we have collaboration, but there's a high degree of flexibility for people to really do what they need to do in their lives as well.
It's those doorway conversations, right, where a spark of innovation when you pass that colleague, that has evolved. You're seeing technology helping that along, but there is that spark when people can be next to each other and thinking aloud together in the same space.
Absolutely, there is. And I think there, what we're finding is there's a place for both of those things. And, you know, for us, we've got a great lunchroom culture, and we offer a terrific lunch every day. And where I see a lot of those sparks happening is just the different lunch tables every day, different groups of people sitting together and, you know, just through conversation, bouncing ideas. But then if they do have a moment in their life where they need some flexibility because they have a repair person coming or their kids are in some activity or they just need some head down time to get some things done, that flexibility is there as well.
On President Trump's first day in office, he issues an executive memo ending remote work for federal employees. Do you think that type of change at the federal level will trickle down, will have an impact on the private sector workforce?
It could, but at the end of the day, anyone that asks me questions sort of along those lines, for me and our organization, I tend to respond with, at the end of the day, we just need to get the work done. We need to do the best we can to deliver the results that we all have agreed upon delivering. And so for me, I am a strong believer in this combination or this hybrid of collaboration time and flexibility for all the life reasons. And I think with as many directions as we are all being pulled these days, having some element of flexibility tends to work really well with our team. It may not work in every organization. I believe not one size fits all. But, you know, for us, this is really working and we are achieving all the things that we set out to achieve. And so until that doesn't happen, I don't understand, you know, any criticism that would come our way.
We're talking about workforce and the organic dairy industry with the CEO of the farmer-owned cooperative Organic Valley in Lafarge. Jeff Frank is with us. Jeff, looking now to the broader economy, President Trump wants to implement a 25% tax on goods coming from Mexico and Canada. That's halted until March. And then we see Trump brought a 10% tariff on goods from China. Then China responds with its own tariff on farm machinery and other things. You know, do you have concerns of a widening potential trade war and what that could mean for small dairy farmers?
I do. And most of our business that we actually do is domestic, but so much of the infrastructure behind family farms is international in scope. And so you mentioned farm equipment, you think about repair parts, you even think about the global market of organic grains and feeds for animals. And, you know, all of these things are in play when we talk about a broadening trade war. And so we are absolutely watching it very closely. Our teams are working on contingency planning, depending upon which direction this could all go. But certainly it is something that is a concern to us, especially in an environment where we know that small family scale farming is a tough business these days. And it's one of the things that really sets our organization apart with our stable pay price and our ability to really think about sustaining those family farms into the future. And anytime there's something like this that could throw that out of whack, we've got to pay very close attention to it.
In terms of milk prices, I mean, if a trade battle leads to potentially fewer imports, will milk prices increase for farmers? What do you see?
Well, you know, we play primarily, well, really only in the organic milk market. And for us, it's a bit more of a stable market than conventional milk anyway, in that, you know, the way we pay owners of our cooperative is a stable price throughout the year that does not fluctuate with market dynamics. And I think another aspect that makes us unique is we commit to that price up front. And then on the business side, we hold ourselves accountable throughout the year to deliver against that price that we've committed. And so what that enables our member owners to do, or the farms in our cooperative, is they can really plan out their year because they know what they're going to be paid for the product that they produce. Mm. That's a little different than the broader conventional market where there are ups and downs throughout the year based on market conditions.
It makes me wonder then if dairy cooperatives may be in a better position to weather these economic uncertainties and shifting policies.
I think to some degree that's a true statement. And I'll tell you, I'll take it a step further in that I think increasingly consumers are so much more aware of where their food comes from, and they want the story behind their food. And we've got just a tremendous story to tell with over 1,600 family farms that make up our cooperative nationwide. that really do stand behind the quality of their product and you know, really support their communities in rural America. And you know, regardless of which angle you may come into our brand from, it could be you support rural communities, you support family scale farming, you think organic agriculture is better for the environment, you like organic products because you think they're better for your health. All of those angles are true, and I think consumers are increasingly aware of that, which is a tailwind for us as well.
These family farms, though, still need a workforce. They need a reliable workforce. And as we look at the immigration concerns and the Trump administration signing 30 immigration policies, reviving more than half from his first term, how will dairy farms be affected amid a new immigration agenda?
It's a great question. And for us, the vast majority of our farms really rely primarily on their family. This is family scale farming. You know, to give perspective, the average number of cows on one of our farms is like 70 cows. So this is a scale of farming that a family can manage. So I, you know, I'll stop short of saying there's no impact on us, but by comparison of the broader industry, there's far less of an impact on us. I think the conversation we had a moment ago about the impact of tariffs on, you know, farm equipment and grain prices and other things would have a much more, you know, far-reaching impact on our members.
And then looking ahead, the USDA plans to implement new milk pricing regulations in June. Would pricing rules affect Wisconsin's organic dairy industry?
They will. And so the federal milk marketing orders are something that the organic segment of the industry does participate in. And it's an area that, you know, we do have opinions on. We don't get a lot of benefits from the orders. In our assessment, some of the orders are a bit outdated. But at the end of the day, we do participate in the process, and our farmers do end up paying in through the cooperative into those pooling expenses.
How do you mean that the orders are outdated? Can you give a for instance?
Well, I think they were created prior to really the advent of the organic segment of the industry. And so as we look at the organic segment, some of the orders don't necessarily apply to organic as they were initially intended for the broader dairy industry. And as a result of that, I think that, you know, from our perspective, they don't really apply to the dairy segment, yet we are required to participate in them as part of the broader dairy industry.
Jeff, thank you so much for joining us.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Jeff Frank is CEO of Organic Valley. It's a farmer-owned cooperative headquartered in Lafarge. We've been talking about remote work and other economic issues that organic farmers are facing.
Still ahead on Wisconsin Today, an Ojibwe water protector is relieved to see the end of an effort to try to bottle and sell water from the Lake Superior watershed.
Water is life. We know that. And we know that everyone deserves water and that we need to make sure that we're saving that for the seventh generation.
The grassroots group Lake Superior, Not for Sale, that's next on WPR News.